I'm Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin. I'd like to welcome you to Counsel for the State, a podcast produced by my office. Counsel for the State will shed light on my office, explain what we do, and discuss timely legal topics. Our aim is to increase transparency so constituents, journalists, and everyone with an interest in Idaho government can better understand how the Attorney General serves the state. With that, here is the Office of Attorney General Public Information Officer and Counsel for the State host, Scott Graff.
Hello and welcome to Counsel for the State. Thank you for downloading the podcast or listening online. Counsel for the State is available at the Attorney General's website, ag.idaho.gov, as well as through popular podcast outlets like iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. In this episode, we're going to discuss an issue that is getting a lot of attention in our state these days. CBD is an emerging issue in the state of Idaho and has captured the attention of retailers, consumers, and others as well. I'm guessing our discussion will also get into the issue of hemp today as well. To discuss these subjects and Idaho's laws on them, I'm joined by three attorneys in the Office of the Attorney General. First, a regular voice on Counsel for the State, Assistant Chief Deputy Brian Kane. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Also, Paul Panther is the Chief of the Office's Criminal Law Division. Paul, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Scott.
And John McKinney joins us. John is an Office of the Attorney General attorney who may be perhaps the office's foremost attorney on these particular issues. John, how long have you been writing opinions on drug laws in the state of Idaho?
About 12 years.
Is that right?
Yes.
So I will start with you, John. This is a very broad question. It probably could take up a good chunk of our podcast, but what is Idaho's law when it comes to CBD?
Idaho's law is very basic. There are two parts.
I'm going to have you scoot in just a little bit. There you go. Okay. You can start again.
Idaho's law is very simple. There are two parts, a two-part test that has to be complied with in order for any substance to be deemed legal in Idaho that's related to marijuana. The first is that the substance cannot contain any quantity whatsoever of THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana that gives the high that recreational users are seeking. And we had a case in 1996 in which the Idaho Court of Appeals said that it even would be illegal to have a trace amount of a controlled substance. So even a trace amount of THC in any substance makes it illegal. Now, the second part is even if there is absolutely no THC in a substance, the second part must be complied with, and that is a strangely worded part of the statute, which says that any part of the marijuana plant that is actually defined as marijuana is illegal. And the statutes go on to say the marijuana plant is all parts of the marijuana plant except, and this is speaking very generally now, except the mature stalks of the plant. And then there's an exception to that, basically, which is that if there's resin that is produced from the mature stalks, then that resin is also illegal. And so even if a product has absolutely no THC, if through some sort of backward investigation or engineering, you can determine that the product originated from one of the prohibited parts of the marijuana plant, it is illegal. And Idaho law makes it a misdemeanor to possess substance that is marijuana or contains THC, and so it would be illegal. And there's no differentiation in Idaho statutes about hemp. Hemp is not something that is accommodated for. CBD, cannabidiol, is not mentioned in Idaho statutes as far as I can tell. And so every substance that is being questioned as far as legality must meet both parts of the two-part test for being a controlled substance and actually a hallucinogenic controlled substance in the classifications in Idaho.
So is CBD oil, what is that manufactured from?
It can, from my understanding, it can be manufactured from hemp. It can be hemp-based CBD or it can be cannabis-based CBD.
And so based on the, it sounds like there's an exemption in there for mature stalks.
Yes.
Would it be possible for this oil to be manufactured from that? Do you know why that exemption is in there?
I think the exemption is in there because mature stocks typically do not have much, if any, THC. And however, as the statute implies, resins can be produced from these mature stalks of the marijuana plant, and so it's not that the mature stalks are totally by themselves okay. If you can somehow produce resin from that, then it's illegal. But otherwise, the mature stalks are typically used for the industrial purposes of hemp, rope, and other types of products which really aren't a concern to the public.
So maybe those mature stalks are an early attempt at an exemption for hemp.
Yes.
The Office of the Attorney General does not have an enforcement arm when it comes to enforcing Idaho's penal laws, drug laws. But I do have a question about enforcement. Do you, John or Paul, have an understanding of when it comes to testing? Can you take a finished CBD or hemp product and go back through and figure out what part of the marijuana plant that it came from?
I do not know the answer to that. I've read some things and heard some things, but I'd be very hesitant to repeat them now. I think it would take a local investigatory office in conjunction with the prosecutor's office of a county prosecutor to determine how far and how much effort to put into kind of a reverse engineering to determine where any one product originated from.
John, how long do these laws go back? The current laws regarding CBD, marijuana, hemp, how long have they been on the books?
I think, I'm not sure exactly, but I know they've been decades, on the books.
Okay, and this was a hot topic at times during the last legislative session. What changed in our hemp CBD-related laws in the state of Idaho after the 2019 legislative session?
The short answer is absolutely nothing. We have the same two-part test for legality of marijuana-related products, and there were some attempts, but they all failed or didn't pass. And so we have the same laws on the books that we've had for decades now.
Do you want to take a moment to discuss some of the things that were considered during the legislative session?
There was, yes, and most of them that I'm familiar with were in reaction to the federal passage of the Hemp Act, in which the federal government passed a law that said that hemp, which is defined as cannabis sativa having 0.3% or less of THC, is legal, and that was passed federally. And so along with that came a whole series of laws that that allow certain or states to adopt in submitting plans to the federal Department of Agriculture for approval, and that is done through the state's Department of Agriculture if a state chooses to produce hemp, and along with that necessarily would be to legalize hemp. Now the federal government has done that, and they're still working on the whole set of regulations that must be done for submission of plans to the Department of Agriculture, the Secretary of the Federal Department of Agriculture, and so they're working on that. It hasn't been done yet, and so nobody, and necessarily nobody, has been able to submit plans that have been approved and then go through the whole certification process of having hemp grown in any particular state approved by the plan that has been approved by the Secretary of Agriculture. That hasn't happened yet. It will happen. But so at this point, states are looking at whether or not to present their own plans and try to get approval by the Federal Department of Agriculture for being able to produce hemp. Idaho has not done that yet. And whether they will or not, I have no idea. But there was a bill presented to allow for interstate shipping of hemp products that are done, once they are done, through this federal system to allow hemp to be transported through Idaho. And that bill did not pass, but written into the federal law that was passed is that there is a provision for interstate shipping once this whole plan is approved and people are certified and there's verification of what those shipments are. They can then have shipments through states like Idaho that have not approved hemp, and so that is the status of the law. So we have not done anything.
The key there is that this regulatory system has not been approved or put in place at this point.
Absolutely.
And so there, so there is no allowance for interstate or any other sort of use through the federal law at this point in time, and we're still awaiting the U.S. Department of Agriculture to promulgate or put forth the rules and the system that's going to govern all this.
Yes.
And one thing we should say, you know, we want this podcast in particular about this particular issue to be informative, to be timely, but there are some things that we're probably not going to be discussing. And Paul, I'll ask John to spin the microphone your way so you can address this, at least, you know, somewhat succinctly. But we, as the Office of the Attorney General, represent Idaho State Police, and there is an ongoing case involving ISP regarding hemp transport going through the state, I believe, back in January. But will you take a moment just for transparency purposes to explain why, as the Office of the Attorney General and the attorney for ISP, we're a little bit limited in what we can say about some portions of this particular issue?
Sure. And for one thing, it would be inappropriate for us to comment on pending litigation, and there's some ethical boundaries of that for attorneys, but it wouldn't be appropriate in any event for us to talk about something that's going on. Of course, we have confidentiality issues with our clients as well, and so we can't talk in a lot of depth about that particular case. I might add that I think it's a common misunderstanding that the Attorney General has extensive law enforcement powers, which it doesn't really have. Under Idaho law, the primary responsibility for enforcing criminal law is with the county prosecutors and county sheriffs, and that's in an Idaho statute. And
that's in 31.2227. And we also cover this fairly extensively in the first podcast, okay. AG 101.
Okay, and so one of the areas that we do have some areas in Idaho code that where we're specifically given concurrent jurisdiction to enforce certain laws, but drug laws aren't among those areas. So when there are issues involving the enforcement of drug laws, those are really in the province of the county sheriffs and county prosecutors.
We have, part of the reason we're doing the podcast, this, by the way, is Counsel for the State, the Idaho Attorney General's podcast, and we are discussing CBD and hemp. And one of the reasons for picking this particular issue at this particular time is we probably are receiving here in the central office more calls and emails from constituents with a lot of different interests in this particular issue. Perhaps more so than any other constituent issue in the state right now. It's really interesting to have watched over the last 6 or 9 months this issue kind of catch on. We heard from a woman here in the Treasure Valley last week who was interested in finding out the legality of CBD and understanding the law a little bit better because she said she had some older friends who have some aches and pains and they're reading about the benefits of CBD, but they want to make sure if they're to buy and consume these products that they would be staying on the right side of the law. We heard from someone in South Central Idaho a few months ago asking about particularly, specifically the animal products for horses and for dogs. Apparently there are some CBD products available to help older horses and dogs feel a little bit better as well. So there's a lot of interest in this, but the one thing that we consistently tell people is that to understand enforcement where you live, you need to talk to your county prosecutor. And Brian, we talked about this, like you said, extensively in the first episode, but for folks who haven't heard that, why is it the best idea for people to call their county prosecutor to understand their enforcement strategy for these particular laws?
Well, I think, I mean, to me, you talk to the local prosecutor or sheriff because they are, under Idaho law, the primary law enforcement agency that is tasked with enforcement of these types of laws. The other thing to keep in mind is that when we talk about CBD oil in particular, you know, the legality of it is questionable, and it's questionable twice. Under Idaho law, it's questionable if it contains any THC content. And even if you get a yes answer there where it doesn't contain any THC content, there's then a question of how was it manufactured? And if it was manufactured under Idaho law using certain portions, then it still may be illegal. And the really difficult area for this, and it's difficult not just for our office, but even for local law enforcement, is they may not be able to come up with a clean answer to either of those questions with regard to the legality. And I think, you know, this is one of those areas where if folks are really concerned and interested in CBD oil or even hemp, the most important phone call they should probably be making is to their legislators, and say, we need to have this area of law cleared up for us as citizens. I think the other thing to keep in mind is that our office may have an enforcement responsibility based on the advertising claims. And so when folks go out there and claim that CBD oil is the new wonder drug, and as you remarked, it's been touted as healing everything from achy horse joints to things that, you know, folks use it for muscle spasms and all sorts of other sorts of claims. Well, as folks make those claims, Idaho law within our consumer protection laws have a requirement that those claims have to be verified. And so there may be at some point an issue for our consumer protection division. Again, I think we're way too early within this area to get there, but it's something that folks need to be aware of, especially as they go out there and start marketing these sorts of products.
We took a call several months ago, it was early in the springtime, from a gentleman in a southern state who was planning a vacation to Idaho and has a CBD product that he says he has found and discovered that works very well for some of these ailments that he has begun to experience in his older years, and wanted to understand Idaho law. And he said, I'll be going to this particular part of the state, and then I'm going to be going to another part of the state, and our advice was, you know, it may be a little bit cumbersome, but you need to reach out to the county prosecutor in each of those each of those counties. Paul, why is it that in a situation like that, that enforcement is not uniform across the state? We've got 44 different mm-hmm. counties in our state, and in theory, you could have 44 different enforcement priorities, correct?
That is correct, and that's because you have 44 different elected county prosecutors and 44 different elected county sheriffs, and they all are vested with discretion to make enforcement decisions, and that discretion sort of begins and ends with that elected official. So they're free to disagree with each other, they're free to disagree with us. There's a number of issues on which our office, not just hemp or marijuana, where our office has issued guidelines or opinions. They don't have to agree with those opinions. So it really comes down to the personal discretion of that elected official.
And when you say guidelines, it's a little bit misleading of a word, because county prosecutors, sheriffs across the state, sheriff's offices, yeah. They're not bound. If this office says, you know, we feel like CBD, yeah. If it crosses a line, it doesn't fit within the parameters of the law, it is illegal, but a county sheriff, a county prosecutor could say, look, based on the discretion we have, we're not going to make this a priority, correct?
That is correct, and you know, a number of years ago, the way the statute that defined the Attorney General's powers indicated that the Attorney General had statutory authority to supervise county prosecutors, but it's about 25 years ago or so now, I think, the Idaho Supreme Court made it very clear that we don't have that responsibility, and that statute was subsequently changed. So we in the Attorney General's office have no authority to direct those other public officials and how they're going to do their job.
So I think, I mean, the one thing that I would let folks know is that given the fact that we can't give a firm answer based on the number of different products and the fact that we don't know who manufactures these, and there's no real regulatory system with regard to the manufacture of these products, it's impossible to say whether a certain product is legal or illegal based on the information that I think we've shared in this podcast. If you want to sell it, you should definitely talk to an attorney before you start selling or manufacturing or growing, whatever it is that the process is. You should talk to an attorney before you undertake that effort, because you may be embarking on an illegal enterprise. And on the other side, if you think that you want to buy it and avail yourself of the benefits that we've heard so far of these products, I think that, again, you want to check legally to make sure that whatever it is that you're purchasing squares up with Idaho law. And I think that that's one of those things that, you know, to me at this point in time, given the uncertainty surrounding both the law with regard to the federal system being implemented and then the fact that the state law is so clear at this point in time, the best advice that our office can offer anyone in this realm is caution.
Now, if I am a consumer and I want to dip my toe into this product line and I buy from a retailer who promises me that this is in fact a very legal product, am I somehow free from the threat of prosecution at that point?
My answer would be no. I mean, maybe if you're buying it from the county sheriff for some reason, but it's hard for me to fathom that scenario. But there are, you know, 44 different counties, and you never know. So I'm not gonna preclude it. But I'm saying that's really, really far out there. But my advice is that there is no immunity. If somebody represents to you that what they've sold you is perfectly legal, because the test isn't whether somebody says it's legal. The test is, what does this product contain and how was it manufactured?
Okay. And I would agree with that as well. And if, you know, the circumstances surrounding that kind of transaction might be something that a prosecutor could consider in deciding what approach they're going to take to prosecuting that, but there's no immunity simply because the seller told you that it was otherwise legal.
This is a fascinating issue because of how quickly it has grabbed a lot of people's attention, when in reality nothing has changed in our laws seemingly to affect that change. I'm just curious, I'm putting you guys on the spot to some degree, but can you think of a past issue in the state of Idaho that is sort of maybe has some parallels to this?
Boy, it's difficult for me to think of an issue where the law didn't change, but there's this perception that something has changed. There's a couple other issues I can think of that were issues of great interest, and one of them in particular continues to be, but not where there was basically no change in the law. But now, there's been a change in federal law that's generated some of this, but Idaho law hasn't changed. I can't think of another parallel to this.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, probably the closest one would be with regard to gambling, where there's just a lot of interest in it and the state of the law is kind of unknown. And so folks, you know, there's rumors around there about what is allowed for gambling and what isn't, and what you can get a permit from the state lottery commission for. But there has been no change in the law. Idaho law has been very specific on gambling for many, many years. But I think that the fact that we see it so prevalent within TV and other places creates this kind of consensus that, well, if it's so available and so in our face, then it must be okay. And yet that's not true.
I think of the daily fantasy sports from several years ago, where they just caught fire nationally, and when they got put under the microscope based on Idaho law, it was determined that they're actually not allowed.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the other one is fireworks, right? There has been no change in the law in fireworks, and yet our office issued an opinion three years ago with regard to fireworks, and the headline in the paper was Attorney General declares fireworks illegal. Well, we did nothing of the sort. That was the law.
All right. Very good, gentlemen. Anything else you would like to add before we wrap up today? I'm getting head shakes. No. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, each of you. John McKinney, we appreciate your time. Paul Panther as well. And Brian Kane, thank you. And thank you for joining us for Counsel for the State today. Remember, Counsel for the State will be archived at ag.idaho.gov. And each episode is also available through popular podcast outlets like iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. See you next time.